But one important thing before we start to listen to Guru Maharaj is we would like to request you. Imagine 500 years back in time. We are in Navadvip. And you all are there to see Lord Nityananda on his appearance day. You're all there to celebrate and to dance in ecstasy. And as we said, the theme is always in Vrindavan. But before we can enter Vrindavan Dham, actually we need to receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So the whole atmosphere, and we would really, really like to request you that you right now tune yourself in and just imagine to be in Navadvip. We have also manifested here some of the mango trees, because it's said that when the Lord appears, he doesn't appear alone. He appears with his associates, but also with his holy abode. So it will be very, very nice for this very special day. And also, any appearance day of our Lord is also an appearance of him in our hearts. As Narottam Das Thakur prays, O Lord Chaitanya, please, Hridaya Mandire, appear in the temple of my heart. So we would like to give the word to Guru Maharaj, who is going to bring us all, these pilgrims, to Navadvip Dham. And hopefully we will see a very ecstatic appearance of Lord Nityananda in just 2 hours. Thank you.
Krishna. Wow. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your enlivening announcements, Madan Mohan and Vananandini. Thank you. We will start in a second, but before doing so, let me see. This is a special Croatian construction. We don't really. Kannst du das hier anziehen, die Schraube? Ja, ich weiß, das ist das Problem. Da gibt's. Before starting, I really from my heart want to thank the devotees who have come. I think yesterday I met Carla Kanta and said, oh, you're here. Yes, after 6 years, I made it. I'm so happy I came. I said, where is your exalted husband? In the airplane. So welcome, Gadada. You told me that you don't want to miss, and we are very happy that you are also there. Hare Krishna. And devotees have come, Madhavananda has come, many come, and still rest innocently, preparing for the actual Abhishek and then all the things which happened today. So I'm very, very happy to be with you in the mango garden in Navadvip. And there is a certain Leela, but I cannot talk about it because it's a surprise. Today I wanted to talk about Lord Nityananda, so please let us start the program. Yes, maybe in the meantime, someone can just, who's a good writer, Manisha, yes, you are a teacher, you should be able to write well. Could you please? This verse here, and write it down. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava
Gopidanavallava Nidivaradadi Gopidanavallava Kiri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Nijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Nijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Prabhupada, Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai. Gaur Premanandi Jai Jai Sirade Jai Jai Sirade Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutam Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Askachyane Sadani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare We will chant in a moment this verse, but I would like to lead you to the verse. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the final conclusion on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's exalted position and his the understanding of his speciality as a hidden avatar. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Nityananda appears in chapter 5. Before that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had written about the spiritual masters, about Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and about the external and the confidential or internal reason for Mahaprabhu's appearance. And then he went to Lord Nityananda immediately. They came together. It's important for us to just understand this work, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You must know, at the time of Mahaprabhu, there were different understandings of the Lord in the air. For instance, people had to come to grips to the and have to have an understanding that Mahaprabhu changed so much. He was first a scholar, and then when he returned from Gaya, he behaved totally different than a scholar. He just more or less chanted. He would cry for 6 hours non-stop for Krishna. And people the first understanding of Mahaprabhu really was that his life as were had come in disorder, and they were thinking maybe Vishnu oil, or better Narayan oil, applied here in the scalp will heal this vata disorder. You know, in Ayurveda, you know this. When you have vata, a drop of good oil here, and Oh yeah, it's done. So this was the first understanding, but then that didn't work any longer because he would talk at times very, very scholarly still, and also he did not appear deranged according to the judgment of Srivas Pandit, who was a respected Vaishnava. He had obtained the most rare treasure, love of God. So another theory had to be placed in. It's the Avesh theory. That is, that as divine or a mystical personality can take for some time possession of a person. This is very much known all over India, that this can happen. It's something which is wanted, and so on. For instance, when I was in Yamunotri, I could see that there was a village coming, and they needed to have some answer to the question, what crops they should plant, because, you know, in the Himalayan areas, sometimes it's the cold season is longer, and then you need to know how to react with your agriculture to the longer days. So this one man, the wise man of the village, you know, in Yamunotri, started to dance himself into a trance. And then you could see by his eyes and everything that he was in a different consciousness. And then one village Devi entered him and spoke through him, you should, not plant wheat this year, but you should plant barley. You know, I'm not so familiar. I got the idea from a translator, but the detail was not interested. I was not so interested. So this understanding that a personality can take possession of another and speak through him is a very common understanding. And everyone thought, well, our Nimai Pandit has changed. It seems that the Lord is entering him at different times, and he is in different states, and then he moves away. So he is a human being, but sometimes the Lord makes an avesh. He just moves into him, he resides for some time, and he then moves out. That was the understanding. But then this also didn't work for very long, because there were different. It seemed there was also a strong influence of not just of the Lord, the Purusha, the Parama Purusha, but also the Shakti seemed to be there. For instance, when Mahaprabhu manifested in a theater play, all the forms of Srimati Radharani, the Adi Shakti, and then her expansions, the queens of Mathura and the queens of Dwaraka, and finally the devis of this world, like Durga Devi and so first Lakshmi and then Durga Devi. The Mahaprabhu, even in one Leela, he fed all his devotees like a mother feds her children. And many, many more things Mahaprabhu revealed. So that, but all the theories were in the air. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is our Gaudiya, the scholars then say, then it needed someone who would bring all these different concepts and all these different movements which were all oriented towards Mahaprabhu together in one understanding of Mahaprabhu. And otherwise, Gaudiya Vaishnavism would have been fragmented and not be one spiritual force, so to say. Of course, we know within the spectrum of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there is different streams, but it's all one body. Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote a work, the Magnus Opum, the big work about Mahaprabhu, which explained Mahaprabhu's position in the best way, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that became the final word, so to say, on Mahaprabhu and on the movement which he founded, the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It is the authority. And that can be traced, that can be proven scholarly, but I don't, and by research, and there is some good work on it, but I don't want to bore you with what I consider partial understanding of divinity, that is academic understanding. So in this work, this is now the important point, there is an explanation also of Lord Nityananda, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami approaches Lord Nityananda very carefully. He says, the ocean of Lord Nityananda's glories is unlimited. There are no borders. So all I can hope is to give my respected readers a drop, just a little tiny fragment of an understanding of Nityananda, because it's very difficult. And of all the qualities of Nityananda, which he chooses to reveal first, he says a quality which, for me personally, is the most important quality of Lord Nityananda in as a devotee and a disciple, and a soul on his journey. He says, please listen. Please listen. I would like to speak now about the glory of his mercy. He made a fallen living entity, and he refers to himself, climb to the highest limit. He brings this quality of Lord Nityananda, that he can make a fallen living entity raise the highest peaks of spiritual realization. And then he hesitates. It's a personal account, and he doesn't, in his writing he says, I will now start to write about your mercy, Lord Nityananda, but I know this should not be revealed in public. It's something very confidential. So please forgive me, but I can't, I have to write about this. So he then goes on to describe that Lord Nityananda had given his Shakti to his confidential associates. One of them was Minikatama Ramdas. I will refer to him as Ramdas from now on, who paid a visit to the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. There was a Sangitan festival going on in that house. That was very common, and I think our movement is more and more incorporating this aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Sangitan, that's what you do. You sit and sing, and just but you sing with faith and devotion the glories of your unlimited Lord through his holy names. No? So there was this festival, like it was always done. Now, Ramdas was there, he was invited, he was leading the festival, because he was very close to Nityananda, and in some ways he had some of the qualities of the master. You know, when you worship someone, then something of these qualities of the person you are concentrated on comes into your heart and in your mind. So he was very joyful, because Nityananda, we will hear a little later, is just very joyful. And he would sit first of all there in emotional love, and the devotees who arrived to participate in the Sankirtan festival immediately know Maharandas is here, wow. And they could see he was sitting there, and tears of ecstatic love were just trickling down his face, almost like pearls, white pearls, who roll over an oyster shell. Very beautiful, he must have looked. And when someone looked in his eyes, he immediately was infected by this shakti of Ramdas, that is typical of the devotees of Lord Nityananda. The Lord has just put them on high voltage, prema voltage, you know, and anyone who came in contact, bing, they got this. So anyone who saw this transcendent being sitting there, looked in his eyes, just started to also feel it. That special love for Krishna. And this is Nityananda's devotee looked just like his Lord. Sometimes one limb started to shake and another was arrested. You know, he was, in other words, the word is volcanic eruptions of ecstasy were seen on the body of Minikatama Ramdas. Then all of a sudden his skin transformed and looked like kadamba blossoms. My dear devotees, I was once in a assembly when my own exalted spiritual master was overcome by divine symptoms of ecstasy. In the beginning, he tried to control himself, and you were really seeing that he tried very hard to not show it in the public, because we were just so absolutely young and foolish, you know, as disciples. We were just überfordert, what does one say, too much challenged by this, but then he couldn't control himself any longer. I think he controlled himself still a little bit, but he was just sitting there and he was stunned, and we looked at him, young and foolish as we were, and there was absolute silence. And then into the silence, something happened from Prabhupada's body, or heart, I would better say. These ecstatic emotions came into the heart of the audience, and we were stunned for a considerable amount of time. And later, when we spoke amongst ourselves, "What was that?" an American devotee said, "What was that, man?" You know, and another said, "Ecstasy, man, that was ecstasy." You know, we were young and foolish, you know, ecstasy, wow, that is how ecstasy feels, man? Yes, man. You know, this is how we discussed it. Hare Krishna. So, yes, Minikatama Ram also transformed the whole ecstasy, the whole audience, who were filled with wonder and astonishment. Chamat means great astonishment. What's going on? He would sometimes playfully climb on the back of someone and slap him with his flute, and that person would become infected with love of Godhead. I have often spoken about this and don't want to go today so much into the details. But there was some discrepancy in the audience. There was one person, a respectable pujari, who was serving during the Sankirtan festival the deities, who just couldn't understand all this. And he became critical in his mind. And Minikatam Ramdas understood the foundation of the criticism. He was a very subtle, very advanced Vaishnava. This Brahmana had respect for Krishna, but not for Balaram. He thought Balaram is too much. And that was offensive. But still he was serving the deity on the altar during the Sankirtan festival. You can't take a pujari who's not in tune with the worship of the Lord when all these devotees come together and want to worship the Lord. That was a great discrepancy in the whole Sankirtan festival, something which Minikatam Ram felt. He knew also that this Brahmana likewise respected and worshipped Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but not his own master Nityananda. You know, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balaram came as Nitai. Huh? So he knew that and he felt very, very bad, you know. Here they were trying to worship the Lord, and then the representative of the whole audience, that's the pujari, has a great responsibility because he stands on the altar on behalf of the people, the devotees who worship the Lord. And he, Minikatam, felt very disturbed. And he said, "Here I find a second Roma Harshana Sutta, who made an offense against Balaram by not standing up and showing honor." Then after saying this, Minikatam Ram was no longer concerned with this. He didn't become, as we say in ISKCON, mental about it, you know, that it. He just dropped the thought and danced and chanted to his heart content. At the end, he blessed everyone and then he went away in a happy mood and so on. So Krishnadas Kaviraj observed this. It was in his own house, his own family house. And he observed, he could see, my older brother, that was a different person, has the same problem. He can recognize Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but not Nityananda. And he had an argument with him. He said, "Brother, if you have faith in one, Gauranga, but disrespect the other, Nityananda, your logic is like the logic of accepting half a hen." You know, what is that logic of half a hen? I think you know, but you know, there was once a foolish farmer who thought he would save money by cutting off half of the hen, that means the head, which he had to feed. And he thought, "Let me leave the tail, which produces eggs." Hence the term Ada Kukutinaya, which means literally half hen logic. You accept one thing, but you reject the other, this won't work. So Krishnadas Kaviraj felt, I'm in a house where there is this misunderstanding. And he had a spirit of conflict, because should I stay in such an association or not? So, in the night, Lord Nityananda came, it says, Se Ratri Prabhu More Dila Darshan. And he gave the darshan in the midst of the night. And this is what Krishna's Kaviraj wants to describe, the darshan. He says, I fell at his feet offering my obeisances. And then he placed his own lotus feet upon my head and he said, Uta uta bali more bale barabara. Uti tandra rupa deki hainu chamatkara. Uta uta bali more bale barabara. Uti tandra rupi deki hainu chamatkara. Uta uta bali more bale barabara. Uti tandra rupa deki hainu chamatkara. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. When I came out of my dandavat, I looked at him and I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy, this means shiny, blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like the god of love himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head, golden earrings on his ears, and golden armlets and bangles. On his feet were tinkling anklets, and around his neck a beautiful flower garland. Sandalwood palm was all over his body, and he had a nice tilak. His movements looked more ecstatic than those of a maddened elephant. Have you ever seen a maddened elephant? Oh, you have not seen this picture. Maddened elephant. My God, the maddened elephant. I saw once. They move on all the 4 feet, usually. They shake their body. The ears fly. And, you know, when you see the maddened elephant, you freeze. You frier einfrieren, wie sagt man, you freeze, and you just, it's so strong, this vision, and the emotions of this great, great king of the animals, it's just so infectious. We had one on Padayatra. Her name was Lakshmi, and she would sometimes go into a frenzy. And we all could like, let's save ourselves, let's run on the trees. But look, you know, it looked so amazing. So Nityananda is intense. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons. And his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. That means they were white, but around the edges of his teeth there was a red thing. His body moved to and fro, right and left. You know, Lord Nityananda's emblem, his motto, or you know, which is the motto of Balaram, it's a palm tree which is swaying in the wind. This is, you know, this means an ecstatic picture. He chanted Krishna, Krishna in a deep voice. Krishna, Krishna. Very deep. His red stick moved in his hand. By the way, this red stick was made of solid iron. No ordinary person could carry that in one hand, but he was swirling it around. He seemed like a maddened lion. And, you know, around his lotus feet, all around were buzzing bumblebees. Wanted to catch the honey. And his devotees were there, dressed like cowherd boys. They surrounded his feet and also chanted, Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
Yes, I guess they had a higher voice than Lord Nityananda. Absorbed in ecstatic love. They were all very musically inclined. Some of them played horns, and some flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them attended to the Lord by offering betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj said he looked, all his senses were absorbed in this beautiful darshan. He was clearly overwhelmed. And then Lord Nityananda saw that Krishnadas Kaviraj was overwhelmed by this vision and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear me so much. Why is this distance here? Don't be afraid. You go to Vrindavan. I know what is in your mind. You think, should I stay or should I go? You know, you think like that. Go. For you it's best to go. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. And then Nityananda waved with his hand in the direction of Vrindavan like this, and then disappeared with all his associates. Throughout the literature, we find how Lord Nityananda directs different devotees in different situations and shows them their path. For instance, the famous Das Goswami, Raghunath Goswami, is known in Vrindavan as Das Goswami, the chief of Radhakund and the whole, what Radhakund stands for, the Prayojana Tattva, of confidential service to Srimati Radhika. He was caught by Nityananda in a very, very moving leela. Maybe we have the opportunity to speak this evening briefly about it. And he was directed to go to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath had made different attempts to leave his home, but only after he met Lord Nityananda did he have the strength to really move on and and go to his transcendental destination. For me, Lord Nityananda is this. I know for spiritual progress a certain impulse is necessary, which moves us from one point to the next. We can't do that on our own. We are unfortunately rooted to our conditioned nature with chains which are there in our hearts. We can't see even that we are conditioned. We think we are all right. Most of you, huh? Yes. We don't think there's anything to change. We are blind to our own misery. We don't know the sources of it very clearly. Because we are rooted by the modes of material natures who are very powerful to a certain karmic drama or karmic situation, our own lives. And to move really, to make significant steps in our spiritual life is not possible on our own strengths. We need an impulse. You know, let me give you a very simple example. This is nicely visible. See, if this stands now on the table. Now, by its very nature, it's a static thing. It's a thermos, and to move will only happen by a strong bura, which means strong wind, or by anything which is an outside force. So to move in a spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, is not possible by your own strengths. It's not possible, because we are so much rooted to our conditioned nature. There is a very, very strong knot in our heart, the ahankara, which just binds us to this, and it's not possible. We need an impulse, some force which comes from outside to move us to a different place. Otherwise, it just won't happen. So this outside influence is, of course, the Krishna influence, and we know this. Krishna is present in acts of devotion, especially in the chanting of the holy name, but also in the sadhus who can give us some mercy, and by the mercy of the sadhus we can walk on our way forward, no? Or by the mercy of Krishna who's in the holy name. So Lord Nityananda really incorporates this mercy principle, which is the initial impulse and the maintaining impulse on our spiritual path. It's that spiritual strength which is necessary to start moving. That strength which resides in Lord Balaram, which Krishna has invested in his older brother. That is there. And that strength comes down through parampara, through the current of disciplic succession into this world. So therefore, Lord Nityananda, for me personally, after trying to make a sambandha, a relationship with him, I always come back to this initial, from him, the wonder of his mercy is that I can get a strength to walk on my troubled path. And I'm praying to him like that. I have a song here for you. There is something from the Nityanandastakam. I think one day we should, on this day, chant it all together. Mm. Aye prataninam kalila kali kalushinam kinubhavita tata prayaschitam rachaya yatanaya sataime prajanti tvam mitam saha bhagavata mantra yati yo vaje nityanandam bhajanatarukandam niravadi. I perpetually worship, see, Nityananda Prabhu says Vrindavan Thakur. He's the root of the tree of Krishna Bhakti. Once he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "Hey, brother Gauranga, what will be the destination of the sinful souls of Kali Yuga? And how will they be saved? Please make a plan by which they can easily attain you." And then it is described, the plan Lord Nityananda made, yes, Lord Chaitanya made, yes, they can chant the holy name, and if they chant the holy name, they will easily arrive at my doorstep. They will come to me. And then Lord Nityananda became so enthusiastic that when he heard how the Lord said, they chant, this is the plan, the holy name, and they reach love of Godhead. Then he's so simple, they say in English. Simple means uncomplicated. He approached, he went door to door sankirtan. He really went to everyone and with knocked at the door, and he stood there with upraised arms before them, and he exclaimed, "Oh brothers, without any hesitation, all of you together continuously chant Sri Hari Nam, you know, Nam Sankirtan," he said. "If you do so, I will take personal responsibility to deliver every one of you from the ocean of material existence." These are verses 4 and 5 of the Nityanandastakam by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So you can see the mercy, when it condenses, becomes Lord Nityananda. There are many examples how devotees were sometimes even rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they were really bad. That was this Kala Krishna Das. But Lord Nityananda saved them and gave them some place and service. There is a song by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Rohini Kumara. Patita Udhara Lagi. Dubahu Pasara. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Rohini Kumara. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Rohini Kumara. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Rohini Kumara. Patita Udhara Lagita Hupashubhara Adita Udhara Lagita Hupashubhara. Lord Nityananda is the son of Rohini. Who was Rohini? Mother of Balaram. Acha. He holds his arms up high and he saves the fallen. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur now describes a wonderful picture of Lord Nityananda. He has a choked voice. So, He stammers, this was stammering, sweetly. I don't know how to stammer sweetly. When I stammer, it sounds sickening. Whomever Lord Nityananda sees, he first of all embraces him lovingly. Well, Nityananda would just walk around and embrace people. You know, we have an Indian saint, Amma, who embraces people sometimes 5,000 a day or 10,000 a day, I hear. And they feel something. But after some time, they don't feel. But when Lord Nityananda embraced anyone, they were permanently changed. That is how he distributed love of God. It's an embracing religion. He didn't, and the fact is, he didn't first smell the person. In other words, judge him. No, he would be intoxicated with prema. His eyes were always restlessly rolling. He looked like a bumblebee buzzing around a golden lotus. Who's a golden lotus? Do you know everything? Yes, Gauranga. Because he knew the sufferings of others, the merciful Nitai Thakur garlanded the people of this world with Harinam. He gave them the holy name. But he gave them with the holy name with taste. That's very important. You know, do you have the name with taste? That's a very important. The name must be with taste, no? Because Krishna is tasteful. He destroyed the sinful spirit of the sinners and the atheists. Oh, the chance. And distributed prema to the humble and the lowly. And he would always call out. Nityananda was not very, let me say, unecstatic. He was very ecstatic. He would always call out, "Alas!
Alas!
O Gauranga!
O Gauranga!"
Yes. And he would fall on the earth, and his whole body became drenched with tears. That means totally wet. And Vrindavan Das Thakur could only say, in my humble opinion, Lord Nityananda looked like a mountain who was rolling on the floor, the mountain Sumeru. So my dear devotees, I see some of you are getting increasingly bored. Because too much nectar is too much nectar for you, some of you. We know. My dear devotees, I want to now make a point. The way the holy name is distributed by Gauranga and Nityananda is, and I found this out very late and in my own life, with taste. If you don't practice with taste, then you will not be able to sustain your devotional practice. There's bhakti with nectar and bhakti without nectar. The bhakti without nectar is when you perform, I've said this often, we'll go quickly over this, bhakti because you are motivated by fear. If I don't do this, my God, I will get something, a slap on my head. Or by hope, if I do this, I will get paradise. There is a Sufi saint, a rabbi, it's a Mataji from Baghdad, who understood that as long as people practice with these two motivations, it will be self-motivated. They will think about their own thing and not about God, and therefore they will not get the essence of love of God. Some say the Sufis were inspired by the Bhakti movement because, remember, the Arabs and Muslims were all in India at the time of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Some say this is not the case. I do not know what it is, but I think any spiritual person, deeply spiritual person, knows I need to work on my motivations. So Rabbi said, I will take the waters of paradise and extinguish the fires of hell. And I will take the fires of hell and bring those fires into paradise and burn that selfish paradise. That is what. Because I... Without, if you have motivation of fear of hell, and hope of some materialistic paradise, that won't, you will not get love of Krishna. It just won't work. The third motivation which is there is Kartavya Buddhi. Kartavya Buddhi means that you do things only out of duty, mechanically, like a person on duty. Yesterday, I had to visit some apotheker for some minor physical thing, and we went into the Konsum. It's a Konsum center, and I saw someone at the door. It was someone, a security man, who stood there on duty, and he looked so bored. I wanted to embrace him and say, I invite you to my birthday. There will be something extraordinary in your life. But I had already made a mistake the day before in addressing people too affectionately. And they spit on the ground before me. So I didn't want this again. But he was on duty. He was looking bored and so on. Gaudiya Vaishnavism must be done according to raga. You know, when you have taste, it's like getting drunk, and you don't even notice how your bad qualities fall away from you. Just like a drunk person, you know, yesterday I objected to the low energy in the room, which was because you traveled a long way. I know it was not your fault, and you were tired and so on. I know, but I wanted to make a point. I only see some of you once a year, and it's important for me to say something which you won't forget. So therefore I took this as your mercy on me so that I could make my point. If you always think about your bad qualities or others' bad qualities, what they do wrong, and you will just you will not get the point of bhakti. You have to bring your mind on a higher level, and that will come. I will tell you how this is possible. It's not a theoretical lecture. Don't worry. But when you are doing things out of taste, you know, if the taste which comes when your mind is engaged in transcendence, you lose the bad qualities like rivalry, ignorance, and hatred towards others. You will lose it. Just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I will overpower the terrible ocean of material life, which is full of countless pains. I will overcome this material ocean of suffering by the strength of Vaishnav association. Let the material world come before me. Let us see. Nothing is impossible for me. I will be drunk with tasting the nectar of your qualities and pastimes, Krishna. The qualities of material life, such as rivalry, ignorance, avidya, that's the original misery, and hatred, cannot make this drunkard suffer any longer. Have you ever been drunk? No one wants to speak. Do I reach you? When you are drunk, you know, when I was 13, I was once taking a bath in the winter. I wanted to see, and I had a bottle of rum. You know, I'm not an exalted person, as you can see. And I drank a little from the rum, and I was not feeling the cold, although ordinarily I feel cold, because I was in some other state of consciousness. I was not regularly doing it. I was very much interested in experiments of the reality. I did it once, and not again. And I don't recommend it that this should be done. I just want to be crystal clear. It was a mistake. It's not for us to experiment. You know, a drunken man doesn't even notice how he's losing his hat, his scarf, and his coat. This means taste. When you have taste, you are not engaged with I'm so envious of others, or this person laments always, and the ignorance, and so on and so forth. And, you know, even the fear of death disappears from a person who is in Krishna consciousness. Even that type of fear loses its influence on him. If you are fearful, says the Bhagavatam, you should discuss tattva, that means eternal spiritual knowledge. But in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which takes the Bhagavatam philosophy a step further, you are advised to become, to practice with taste, your spiritual practice. Now you will ask this question, which I hope you will ask it. You will ask it, from where do I get this taste? Some of us in our movement say, from doing kirtan. Is this true? Could you say your yes in your own words? What is your experience in kirtan? No, I'm looking now for realized expressions, not an institutional yes. What do you feel? And anyone who gives an answer must speak in his own words. Otherwise, he will be in trouble. I'm looking for something which you say in your own words, not a repetition of a formula. Freshness. Freshness. Yeah, you are, yes, fresh. You feel refreshed, kid. Gadadha. It brings me into a humble and devotional mood. From whatever, I have to repeat for the camera. By the way, I forgot to greet all of you who are in the camera or in the computer at the moment. Think about this also. We want now something in your own words, not just a formula. We know the formula. It's ecstatic. And then we sit in the kirtan and fall asleep. That is not what is Krishna. That will not help us. So, in whatever consciousness I start, it usually, which is not always very high, it usually puts me into a humble and devotional mood when I sing kirtan. We have seen that in your kirtan, that you sing very nice kirtans, and gone is the Mr. Time Waver, and present is Mr. Devotee. Yes, yeah, we have seen, yes. So, Sundarananda, we want to hear the older devotees very much. Are you very honest now? No. Let me rephrase it positively. I feel sometimes that I get the mercy, and sometimes I feel I don't get the mercy. Can we say like that? So an experience is, we want to say, what do we experience of the spirit? We know that we sometimes are spaced out and miserable, even in kirtan, when we can't switch into the kirtan. But we look now for spiritual experiences. That's a material experience. Well, it could also be said, you're getting purified and things come up. Yeah. But I think this is a very good statement Vishwanarananda said. In kirtan, sometimes we can get the mercy. And there is no telling what we were before and what we are after, because we have that intrusion in our consciousness of mercy. Intrusion is a bad word. Yeah, I want to say it in a little thought-provoking way. Zip, something comes in. Good. Yes, go Ranata Raj, I will. But actually, yes, you please.
I also feel that my mind becomes very peaceful and calm all of a sudden. I feel somehow I can connect with something and leave out my material consciousness.
I also feel that. After kirtan, the vibration of the mind comes down, and then I can't speak. I'm trying to show how you feel. I have seen this very often after kirtans. Devotees are, and then in the Balkans, what I saw. Don't mind me. You are very temperamental people and very wonderful people. You feel so irritated. This is unusual. What happened to me? And then some preachate is required. And then it's like an orcano, a tempest, a storm of talking, which I hear, you know, because you feel so unusual. This is a place you usually don't inhabit, you know. You don't know how to exist in this space. So double vibration is required, and double speed to talk. I like very much how Madhava Prabhu ends his kirtan. Have you noticed in the kirtans he just lets silence. Or Gadadhar also does it as a kirtan leader. He says eine bedeutungsvolle Stille. So, ist das dein Wort oder wie sagen? Eine gotterfüllte Stille. A God-filled silence. Let us go into the God-filled silence. They're very nice. These kirtan leaders have experienced something. Not immediately talk. Just stay in that space for some time. And, you know, take it home with you. Take it with you. And the more you take that with you, the more you will become familiar to reside in that divine space. But if you immediately fill it with material talk, and immediately dobrodošli around, you know, then you will always remain, you will maybe remain a stranger to this spiritual space. You know, you need to learn to inhabit that space and stay in that. It's called the sacred space. You know, it's a place in the heart which the Upanishads and the Gaudiya literature describes in detail. Yes, Mandaleshwari, you feel, I think, very ecstatic. You often cry in kirtan, I have seen. Yeah.
Situation. So it was like when you are flying with the airplane, so all the everything become very little. So I can feel very. Before I feel can be miserable. I have this problem, that problem. I have this pain, that pain. But when I begin to chant the holy name, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't. It is so little bit. So I'm not. Mm. I really feel I met this body, and I appreciate it.
Here's another experience. I feel I take a plane, airplane, and fly in the sky. Or in what it means is, I may have had problems, but just like when you're in an airplane and the houses become increasingly small and little, that small problems, that the problems became very, very small. Madhava, may we ask you what you feel, what is your experience in Kirtan? Thank you very much. I will give a summary for the devotees who could not hear. It's actually good if we make the microphone ready for such events. It's ready. Acha, then you should have said. You're the sound people. Please always think. Never stop thinking. Madhava Prabhu said basically two things. One is by the mercy of the Lord, when something is done right in Kirtan, one leaves the platform of the mind and comes to another platform. And the second is he felt it's you sit in the middle of the town, everything is buzzing around, but you just feel you're no longer there. It's the heart doors are open and you're in a different space. And he also said something which I think is very important for us who are talking about spiritual realizations. It's very difficult to put that in words. It's very difficult because it's always something more than the words can express. But the words can at best point in the direction, but it's always something more. I noticed this, and I want to stay with this point for a moment. Genuine spiritual experience is always out of the box of your ordinary experiences. And don't try to put it too much in words, because you will then try. Words means there are first concepts, and from the concepts come words. But these experiences don't happen in the world of your concepts. They are beyond your mind, beyond anything you have experienced. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's almost as if a person who was always blind sees all of a sudden a flashlight, but he doesn't know what is light, and he doesn't have words for it. You know, it's
What was this? It was one wonders. What was it? I must tell you this last Kartik in Vrindavan, I had one of these experiences, and for the first time in my life, I have not talked about it, and I will never talk about it, because it's just something which is beyond my concepts and beyond my power of words to describe it. And I'm afraid if I talk about it, I might pull it into the world of my concepts, and then it's almost like amputating a living, you know, and blinding a person, and so on. So we think in our movement that of all forms of bhakti, Sankirtan is the best. That's the movement, that's where we come to. But I want to contest this. Contest means I want to now, you know, I believe in that also, but just to make you think is, Jiva Goswami says, first you must hear about Krishna. Then from hearing, from Shravanam, comes Kirtanam. And he makes the point, we know this, first comes I don't want to say something is better or worse. That's not how he says it. But he says, first comes hearing about Krishna. That's the difference, because, see, the yoga movement does not chant like Mahaprabhu's movement, because they have not heard about Krishna, and therefore they cannot chant with a sense of worship and relationship. It's just some mystical mantra for them, and Krishna reveals himself according to the devotion someone has, and they don't have devotion to Krishna, a personal God. They think there's an impersonal God. And therefore I really, really, really think that as we spread yoga as music, we had yesterday the most fantastic meeting on this. We have to see how we do as Kirtan leader our homework to really chant with Sambandha, and then we have to know how to present Krishna to the outsiders. We should not, it should be something where they can learn about Krishna, the personality of Godhead, and we can easily present him as Rasovai Saha, the ocean of tastes. We have to use words, the ocean of ecstasy, you know, words where they don't immediately shut the doors of their perception. But it is possible. Hearing is so important. It comes first. And the example is Shukadev. You know, Shukadev was in the womb of his mother. He was a Brahman realized soul, and he didn't come out of the womb of his mother. So Vyasadev talked to him, "Oh son, why do you needlessly give pain to your mother?" He was already, how long was he in there? 16 years. Imagine, I mean, we don't have bodies. Imagine, some of you are grihasthas, your wife is 16 years pregnant and the child is living. Then you will call to your teenage boy or teenage daughter in the womb of your mother, "Why do you needlessly give suffering to your mother? Come out!" So Vyasadeva said like this, "Come out, you know." And the voice came back, "Who are you?" You know, these are divine personalities. And Vyasadeva said, "Your father is talking." The voice came back, "Under these circumstances, I will not come out. Because no one here is father and mother. We are all eternal. You are in illusion. I don't want to go into the world of Maya." There was a stance. There was very clear communication. Only if Krishna himself comes. He has now appeared, came the voice. in Dwaraka. It was correct. And promises me to not come under illusion will I go in this dangerous world of illusion. Only then. So Vyasadeva, you know, 5-16 years, you know, went to Krishna and Dwaraka and said, I have this unusual child. You know, he's not coming out. He says he doesn't want to see the world of Maya even. So Govinda appeared, come out, and said, come out. And Shukadev immediately came out, and immediately, without eating even porridge or rice, left the house of Vyasadev and went to the forest. Vyasadev could understand this is the most unusual child. He is very special. He understood also. And he ran after him and shouted, my son, my son. But only the trees echoed in laughter. You know, there was an echo from the trees. Later, so in that forest near the hermitage of Vyasadev, there were some wood collectors. Have you seen in India? In Braj you see them also. They go and cut wood and sell the wood. So there were some wood collectors, and they would sometimes see a brilliant, effulgent personality who then would disappear in the forest. He didn't want to talk to anyone. And they went to Vyasadeva and said, this area is not safe any longer. There is a personality, maybe of divine origins, who is like a ghost. Can you give us a ghost mantra? You know, they were simple people. And Vyasadeva understood everything. My son is there. And he said, okay, two verses for you. One verse, two mantras for you. One verse will be on Krishna's mercy, and the second verse I give you will be on Krishna's beauty. Do you want to know the verses?
Yes.
Aho bakiyang stanakalakutam jigam sayapayayat apyasadvi lebe gatim dadyuchitam tatonyam kangva dayalung sharanam brajema. This is what the woodcutter sang the next time they saw Shukadev Goswami. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of a mother even to a she-demon, Putana, although this demon was so unfaithful and prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So this is, Prabhupada says, he is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to an enemy. This is the first mantra they chanted. The second is, Bahapidam natavara vapu Kanayo kanikaram Bibradvasa Kanaka kapisham Vejajantim chamalam Ratram vino Adarasudaya purayan Gopavrinda Brindaranyam Swapadaramanam Ravishat Gita Kirti. It's a description of Krishna's beauty as he
enters the forest of Vrindavan. He wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head. Blue Karnikara flowers on his ears. A yellow garment as brilliant as gold. And the victory garland made from five flowers. Lord Krishna came as the greatest of dancers and entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his heart. Enter the cowherd boys danced around him and sang his glories. So when Sukadev heard this, he ran out of the forest around to the poor woodcutter, grasped his neck and said, "Say more, say more." The woodcutter thought, "My God, I thought I had a successful charm against ghosts, but the ghost has become more powerful. He attacked me." You know, when you are attacked by ghosts, you must chant the names of Narsingadev or of Krishna, and he will go. But imagine he becomes more strong. Then you know you do something wrong. So they ran afterwards to Vyasa and said, "What kind of mantra you have given us? Didn't work. Show me the ghost," said Vyasadeva. And they brought him into the forest. "I will do it. I will take him home." And Vyasadeva then recited more of the Bhagavatam. And Sukadev came out and said, "Teach me all you know about Krishna." "I thought so," said Vyasadev. He avoided to say son so that Sukadev wouldn't run. And he went back and he taught him the Bhagavatam. And Sukadev, who was previously in Brahmavadi, heard now about Krishna, and now he was able to chant about Krishna very nicely by then telling the whole Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. And it was so powerful. He didn't speak like a Mayavadi, he spoke like a devotee. And we know Parikshit, who was a devotee from childhood, accepted him like that also. He could see, here the nectar comes. And he went back to Godhead due to the power of the recitation. So this is, hearing comes first. I also appreciated how Madhava guided his audience. He said, if you want to absorb yourself, start with hearing. That's Shravanam. It's very important. But Shravanam should be very much applied also to the Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, many of you have not discovered the Bhagavatam yet. I'm sorry to say, and that's why you may not be as spiritually advanced as you wish. The sun can only be seen by the power of its own rays. Krishna of Vrindavan can only be understood by Srimati Radharani. Oh, brothers and sisters, you need to go through Radha if you want to understand the Braj Krishna. In the same way, says Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the holy name, the most merciful incarnation of Krishna, can only be understood through his Swarup Shakti, which is Krishna Katha. Only this way. Otherwise, you can't make the sambandha, the relationship with the Lord. It's not possible. And for me, Nityananda Prabhu, he practices Krishna, or teaches Krishna consciousness with taste. Then you get and the idea with taste is with bhakti. And so this bhakti comes when you hear the Bhagavatam. It's special place is given in our philosophy to hearing the Bhagavatam, because this in the first chapter it is said, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam attentively and submissively, Krishna becomes at once established in the heart. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is so powerful that even if you can't make it one day to read the Bhagavatam, even if you desire to hear the Bhagavatam, you know, if that desire is there and you connect with the Bhagavatam through desires, after having heard from the Lord's devotees, Krishna comes in the heart, and then you can chant, then you can sing. My dear devotees, what I wish to say, and I hope I reach you, you absolutely need to practice Krishna consciousness with taste. How long can you tolerate to be without a taste? Do you want to be an eternal neophyte who every morning struggles with his bad qualities and who is a dark-faced beginner who has no idea of spiritual life? How long will this go on? This is not what you came for. This is not for what you have given up your material life and joined such an adventure as the International Society, what is our name for, the International Hare Krishna Movement. That's not why you joined. You have a right on something else. This is distributed, if you want. This is Nityananda and Chaitanya, they gave it. It means it's the right of every living entity. But you have to know how to get to this mercy, how to get to this place. That's very important. You know, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, and the Lord said, you can have a blessing. You know what he said in the Bhagavatam? He said, this is the blessing I want, O unlimited Lord. May I always have the association of great devotees with a pure heart who perform bhakti to you. By this intoxication, I will become intoxicated from drinking the nectar of your pastimes and qualities. And then I shall easily combat means fight, I can easily conquer the ocean of material existence full of terrible suffering. So the point here is bhakti with sweetness, bhakti with taste can come to you by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It's a special concession by this mercy which will bring you into the association of devotees where you will hear about the pastimes of Krishna, where you will hear about Krishna. Our society should talk about Krishna. Our society should only sometimes talk after we have talked about Krishna, about the problems, so that we can correct them from a platform of knowing, from a platform of taste, from a platform of strength. We need strength and the strength comes from that taste. You all know this from your life. You are all old devotees. You know so much. You know, when you have taste, you can do everything. When you have no taste, you can do nothing on the spiritual platform. It's very simple. So this taste, try please by hearing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. Therefore, Dhruva prays for the association, and then he says, I will not have fear of the ocean of samsara, the ocean of suffering. I feel our Krishna consciousness movement has moved to a very important crossroad now. It is known now amongst the devotees, the power of the holy name, everywhere the chanting is going on in great, great ecstasy. You can speak with Madhava Prabhu, who is traveling and is invited all over the world to present kirtan and so on, because devotees want to chant. And somehow he got some mercy in Vrindavan when he was young, and so on. So they invite him. Very good. We understand, we have tried many things, but we understand as a movement, yes, we must chant, we must chant. It's very important for us. And you could see yesterday, for instance, when we chanted, how blissful you all were. You danced like angels and you had smiles which went all around your heads. I thought, my God, hopefully the scalp doesn't fall out, you know, and so on. Because it is very good to chant in the association of devotees. It's very powerful. And now I request you, so that you can really enter the practice of chanting with taste, always, you must hear about Krishna. It's a must. You cannot see the sun without the sun rays. Without Krishna Katha, you cannot see the real holy name. You will chant Namabhas at best when you get some mercy. So on. Prabhupada spoke about this taste in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, I want to request you, I know it's a little long, the lecture, but now I'm coming to the conclusion. Can you just do me a favor, just switch on? You want to, the idea is you want now to understand what Prabhupada says. Because, see, when we did the Govardhan retreat, there were many older devotees. There was Giriraj Maharaj, there was Burijan Prabhu, of course, Mataji Umala. Many Prabhupada disciples come now by Krishna's mercy. My disciples don't always come, but soon I think they will also like to come. We had a very amazing realization, the old ones. You know, that sometimes when you talk about Krishna in the Krishna consciousness movement, people think you are sahajiya. Something is wrong with you. These older devotees said, I didn't want to say these controversial things, because we are used to talk problems, but we are not used to talk solutions so much. Sometimes it's almost like when I say to devotees that you must chant with Sambandha, the relationship for Krishna, even older devotees say to me, but can I have a relationship to Krishna? And then I tell them, well, I'm surprised, Prabhu. Let me ask you a question. When someone serves a master, is there a relationship of master and servant, or is there no relationship? But of course there's a relationship. Usually the master feeds the servant and the servant likes the master. Acha. Have you ever heard Prabhupada saying that we are servants of God, or is it a new concept for you? Oh yeah, I'm a servant. Yeah, there's a really... So you don't mean relationship means madhurya rasa. We all start our relationship from dasya, servant. That's where you start. And whatever is your rasa, that will be revealed in the world. But we all start from dasya. This is what is explained in our... what is it? Navadvip Mahatma. What is the work of... What? Of It's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. Navadvip Dham Mahatma. Thank you very much. There it is explained. So Prabhupada also says, one who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa, that means relationship to Krishna, will certainly be dragged down into material attraction, thus to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. He says, one who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa. That means you need to listen about how Krishna relates with his many servants, and you are also his servant in this world, and you should listen to this. Otherwise you'd be dragged down in material attraction And Prabhupada is very strong here. And thus, to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding, listen to this. Are you listening? Trying, huh? Trying, good. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material so-called love between man and woman. Similarly, if one understands the pure parental love of Nanda and Yashoda for Krishna, he will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. Dear parents, it doesn't mean you shouldn't love your children. Love your children. If one accepts Krishna as a supreme friend, the attraction of material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane wranglers. Of course, friendship with devotees is important. Prabhupada speaks now, friendship with mundane wranglers. Wranglers means Streithälse, you know. But still, after 40 years, you have to tell the devotees to understand these things carefully. If he is a... And so on. Prabhupada continues in his purport. It's a very strong purport. If you want to read it in your own reading time, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 4th chapter, text 35, the purport. Amazing purport. Prabhupada throughout his teaching has talked about this, hearing about Krishna. The point here is, Lord Nityananda wants us to practice with taste, bhakti with taste, and that's his whole, when you study his pastimes, it's all laughing, it's all dancing, it's all feasting also, prasadam. It's all joking. Nityananda would joke a lot. And he would, it was just he's so ecstatic, you know. That's the outstanding quality. He laughs like a child and so merciful. He says to his brother, how will they be saved? And Mahaprabhu said, by chanting. So Mahaprabhu, then he runs to everyone, please chant. Raised arms, and then he rolls on the ground. What we hear here is Nityananda is the original teacher, and the teaching means for devotees with taste. We must get the taste. And we can get it from the Bhagavatam and the holy name for sure. That's what I wanted to say. Now I don't need to lecture any longer. I've said what I want to say. My dear devotees, I just can't tell you. I just can't express it very nicely because I have to give always these well-structured lectures, everyone. Otherwise, no one listens to me. I just dropped all my concepts today. I didn't even have my concepts. Today, I thought I speak from my heart. All that I don't forget, the text is here. The few words there. Because that's in that's what I really, you see, we see each other once a year, twice a year, three times a year. We are always say, hello, goodbye, nice to see you, how is your health? How health? Good. And then I'm sad, can't we talk more about other things? But there's so little time and so much service and so on, and the service expands, and then I feel when you are most willing to hear what does he have to say to us, then I want to say this. I mean, by the way, it's the same like 25 years ago. It's always Krishna, 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 but I'm trying to convince you always new that you come to the, I would say it in a way which even devotees who don't read so many Prabhupada books, that you come to a high energy level, right? This is, you read the modern literature, high energy, very important. Modern society talks about energy, not only electricity, but any energy, you know. Every movie which you see, if you see movies, some of you do, ends with something, the hero loves the heroine, no? And some energy of love, that is always there. If you want to taste that, in a spiritual way, a higher, you need to now wake up, like in the verse, Uta Uta. Uta means arise, wake up. This is how Nityananda enters into the awareness of Krishna Das Kaviraj in this Chaitanya Charitam book. Arise, arise. Too much sleep has gone on. Arise. Now I can switch off the preacher in me. This was a preaching lecture, I admit it. It was more sharing. I hope those who have wanted to hear have heard. Good. So we will end now because we are late, and there is something special waiting for us.